Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I am your host this week, Shane Lees, and joining me I've got Richard Hero Hudson.
Good evening.
And I've got Nick Davey.
Yep, good evening.
Right, now, obviously we are in pre-season still, and we're going to talk about all the transfers and all the manager moves and everything. So let's start straight away with the champions.
Yeah, I just went on a pre-season run and I'm fucked.
Off to a strong start, aren't we?
Let's did see a lovely windmill then.
Let's start.
It was our training.
Are you out pokey collecting, really?
I wish I was, but I don't have Pokemon Go.
No, neither do I. I don't understand it. Anyway, let's talk about the champions, Leicester City. Now, they have been quite busy in this transfer market. They've not made any massive signings, and they've obviously kept their manager, Claudio Ranieri. So let's talk about their transfers. They've signed Ahmed Musa from CSKA Moscow, Nampalis Mendy from OGC Nice, Ron Robert Zieler, who's a goalkeeper from Hanover, Andre Kramic has come back on loan, Luis Hernandez, they've also signed on a free from Sporting Gijon, and their other centre-back they sent on loan to Fiorentina has come back. I can't pronounce that name, I'm not going to try. However, they have sold N'Golo Kante for, I think it was, what was it, 30 million, something like that? 35 million? That's the only major loss they've had, but they might also lose Mahrez. They're not going to lose Vardy. Okay, so what do we think about the business they've done so far? Is this good business, or is this all going to go badly for Leicester?
Zieler, he's a decent keeper, but he's not going to be taking over from Schmeichel. So that's a sort of a backup keeper, but a very good backup keeper. Musa is one of those players that is either going to be amazing or a total flop.
Yeah, that's got the feeling of it. It's one of those fast African players. You could end up having him score 25 goals or doing absolutely nothing.
He's one of those players as well that I'm sure that his actual date of birth is not right.
Yeah.
If you look at his face, he's got a face of a 50-year-old.
Well, at least we've both been slightly racist so far. We're up to a really strong start.
I know, anybody can be old-looking.
Yeah, okay. Now, they've sold N'Golo Kante. It looks like they've replaced him with Nampalis Mendy. Do we think this will be a good replacement, or is this going to be too significant a loss?
Is he really going to be as good as Kante? I mean, he'll probably be alright, but Kante was amazing.
Yeah, but the thing I think is, last season, when they signed Kante, nobody said anything about it. So at the same time, it can go either way.
It could have been a one-season wonder as well.
Yeah, there's always that possibility.
I reckon Kante could probably run a marathon in London and then probably be alright to play.
Alright, okay, but let's talk about Leicester as a more general sense. Now, at the end of the last season, we obviously all praised Leicester's of high hopes and all that lot, but most people were saying they don't think they'll be able to keep this up. I said personally that I thought they could get Champions League football again. I said I didn't think they'd win the title. Richard, I'm fairly certain you said they were just going to drop down the table. So, looking at the business they've done and the business that's likely to happen for them, what do we think is going to happen?
You look at their sort of team compared to the other ones that should be challenging, and it's not as good a team. Individually, it's not as good a team. But it wasn't as good a team individually the season that when they won the title.
Hmm.
But they won the title. So, I would say that they're going to finish 7th or 8th. I will happily have egg on my face again if they win the league.
In a weird twist, would you actually say, though, finishing 7th or 8th would be a good season for them?
Yeah, I would.
No, I'd think they'd be hoping to get 5th or 6th.
I reckon all their fans would be realistic. I think they'll know this season was just a complete one-off spectacular, and I think if they can get in the top 8 next season, I think they'll be pretty happy. I think they'll be like, well, we've actually sustained it. We haven't done a total balls up and end up saying battling to stay up in the division. I think if you look at it, I know it's a different sport, but look at it in cricket. I mean, there was a year when you could look at it in Lancashire. They won the championship, and next year they got relegated to Division 2. I'm not sure how that helps my theory, but that could happen though to Leicester. But I mean, so I think they'll be pretty happy.
I was, Mahrez, I think, is key to them this season. I think
you say he's staying.
A lot of players say they're staying in clubs, and then a week or two later.
No, Ranieri said he's staying because they had a pizza.
All right. Well, it was that Aston Villa one last year that was staying.
Yeah, I didn't really.
Oh, the snake.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, my position is that essentially, if they got top four again, that would be a great success. It would be, okay, we're not a one-season wonder. We can actually go on and be a club that can continuously challenge. But beyond that, I think most fans will be realising it probably was a one-season wonder sort of season. And what they'll be hoping for is now a sort of normal progression, where they get maybe Europa League football. So maybe finish 6th or 7th and get Europa League football. And then from that, try and build up and actually, you know, set it up again from now a solid basis. I think most fans are a bit more realistic than maybe they have been in the past. And I think they would see it as at least not so bad, you know, a setback, if that makes sense.
Yeah. One that they're very particularly keen on, apparently, that they've meant to have made a bid for, is one to certainly look out for, is Bartosz Kapustka, one of the young Polish stars from the European Championships.
I think they haven't really signed anyone that's sort of got Premier League experience, which could potentially be a problem. Because I thought Leicester should have gone after someone like Ross Bart.
Alright, okay, let's move on from Leicester then, and let's talk about Arsenal. Now, they finished second, obviously, last year, and they have been, for Arsenal, let's put that in perspective, for Arsenal, relatively busy for once. Yeah, we're talking about Arsenal, and I think they've been a bit busier than usual. They've already signed Granit Xhaka, the Swiss-Albanian player, 38 million from Borussia Mönchengladbach. They've signed a few other younger players, a Japanese fellow, Takuma Asano, and Rob Holding from Bolton. Okay, with Arsenal, I have this horrible feeling about that club, though, that this is pretty much all they're going to do.
Yeah, well, the chief exec has already said that they can't compete with the big clubs on the big money transfers.
And that's such bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, if there's any club in the Premier League which should be able to compete, because it's actually got a huge fan base, Arsenal. It's a traditional club that's got not just the people that turn up at the gates, but a worldwide fan base. They're pretty decent now, money wise, after the stadium buy.
They have massive marketing and advertising structures already set up and corporate facilities.
How they can't compete, I just don't know. You look at the likes of Liverpool as a sort of comparison, and every year Liverpool pretty much outspend them.
Yeah, and like the Arsenal fans, okay, I normally have to say, as a general, I'm not a big fan of Arsenal fans, because I do think they're a little bit deluded. They're up there in terms of the deluded fans in the Premier League. But when they knock their club for not spending money, I think they're completely right on it. And you said, I don't see how they can't spend that money. I'll tell you how, because they're lying. They can spend the money, they're choosing not to. That's what it is. They have the money, they have more money than just about every other Premier League side, barring two or three. The difference is, with this one, is they're tight. That's all it is. They don't want to spend the money. They'll only spend that money if they feel like they've already got that money coming in directly in terms of in-club assets, as in players. Apart from that, they won't spend it.
They tend to go out and buy one decent player every summer, don't they?
Yeah, but it's not like they're spending crazy, crazy money on that one decent player. It's sort of at the top end, £40 million.
They tend to get them on the cheap as well. They don't go to the bank to get that player.
I mean, they'll spend £40 million, but at the same time, every other club in the Premier League is spending that kind of money. Maybe not on one player, but every other club in the Premier League will spend that kind of money this season. So they're spending relatively on improving their squad the same amount as a club like us, for instance, Southampton. I don't think we spend much more than £40 million per season. And so you have to think, Arsenal, surely, if they want to, you know, sustain this Champions League form and even challenging for titles, surely they've got to open up the purse strings a little bit more, because Wenger's not going to be there forever. And when he goes, that club has to change completely. They can't afford to be as tight, because they will not have a genuinely world-class manager.
Do you think partly it's him, though, that's the issue of not wanting to spend?
No, I don't. Yeah. I really don't, just because
I don't think he wants to bring that too many players. I think he wants them to just, like, I think he just wants to keep it as it is last season, but with that one extra little bit of quality.
Yeah, I don't think he protests too much, I'll put it that way. But I think a lot of times we tend to think, especially with the older managers, that they're going to be old-fashioned, that they're going to be managers who are comfortable. You know, they're going to do all the transfers, they're going to set up everything around the club, and the chairman and all that lot, they're just going to handle the money. I think we have to be realistic about what modern football is, and being realistic is admitting that the majority of managers do not make any real transfer decisions. They'll talk with their scouts, and they'll talk with their directors of football, and they'll talk with their youth development people, and they'll say, oh, can we do this, can we do this? And then someone else makes that decision. They say, all right, maybe we will go for this player. I think
it's usually the case that a manager will put down a list of players that suit what he wants to build the team into, and then obviously then the business guys go off and try and fresh out deals on what's available.
Yeah, and I'll put it this way.
They have names.
Directors of football? Or arseholes?
Yeah, they work in the football recruitment department.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, I think Arsene Wenger, if he's putting down a list every season of the kind of players he wants, that list isn't going to be one player long. It's going to be...
They probably just rip it up and say, lol.
Yeah, it's going to be five or six. I'll put it this way, if he was at a club, like, say, Chelsea, the way Chelsea spend money, he would not still be signing, you know, one big player a season. It would be... They'd be spending the same amounts of money. I really think it is Arsenal the club, it's the owners. I think they are... You spend thrift, I think they, or is that the wrong word? They're fucking tight asses. There's no two way about it. And as far as I'm concerned, the fans have a right to be a bit angry about this now, because they have the money. They're just prioritising profit over the club, which is not the point of a football club. Football clubs aren't about money. You can have making money on the list, but the whole point is to continuously improve, to make it better for the fans, all of that lot. So yeah,
I very much enjoyed it how the Arsenal fans went into meltdown when Jamie Vardy turned them down.
All right, let's talk about that one a little bit. Why do we think he actually turned them down?
He's at a club which actually knows how to become a champion of England in
Ooh,
the last 10 years.
Harsh. Do we not think there's maybe a small element where he thought, Arsenal, am I really going to win something again with them?
Well, exactly.
He probably thought, can I be a big fish in a... I'll be a big fish at Leicester, or go to Arsenal, rot on the bench, and become the next Danny Welbeck.
Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think that's it. You look at players that have done well for one season, like the likes of Ricky Lambert.
Don't get me wrong.
He was banging them in for you at Southampton. Goes to Liverpool, that's his career over.
Ironically, yeah, exactly. He'd have probably kept scoring.
There's a few examples. Crouch and Robbie Keane, they made the mistake, and they had to go sort of slowly back to where they belong. So
how many players
have
gone to, you know, City or Chelsea in the last few years as a striker and ended up just on the bench and never doing anything?
There's a few names. We could be here for days talking about the names that have done that. But I think Leicester, he's enjoying it. Well, I think everyone enjoys it at Leicester. I think there's no secret that everyone loves it every second of it. And who's to say? I mean, they probably won't. But who's to say they won't win the league next year?
Well,
but he's
not definite. I mean, there's chance Burnley to go in the league after what we saw last season. I mean, so they're in a well good place. They're probably certainly in like the top six contenders. They're obviously not in a bad place. So he probably just looked at it and said, "Yeah, sort of screw it, I'll stay. Champions League football's guaranteed, and I'm probably going to guarantee to start every Champions League game." So
Arsenal still linked with a few players. Is that right? I disagree on that they've done a bit of business, because I don't think they really have. They bought one first team player, the other two aren't really going to be first teamers.
Well, I was going to say, the difference between what they've done this year and what they normally do is they acted quickly this year. Normally they take
the
time.
Saka, but they still need a centre back, because Mertesacker's injured and now has the.
Rubbish.
He might as well be in reverse.
Yeah,
he's got another knee injury. How fast is that player going to be when he comes back from that injury?
They probably need another central midfielder, because they've lost three to ending careers and free agents and all that lot. Flamini, Rosicky and Arteta, and with the amount of injuries they have, they'll want the kind of cover that another central midfielder can provide.
The two main midfielders that they often have last about five games each between it. Doug only got Giroud up front.
But the problem is it's Arsenal.
Got Welbeck.
Like, okay, we can say they might sign, you know, a striker or a centre-back and another midfielder.
Joel Campbell.
But, I mean, are they going to go out and spend, you know, 30 million to go out and get a really good striker or 30 million to go and get a really good centre-back? Or are they going to go, oh, well, let's put 10 million in and maybe get someone who might be good one day, but probably will just sit in our under-21s forever, only play when Wilshere's injured, which, of course, he'll get injured, then he'll be replaced by some other idiot in that club.
Well, striker-wise, they're meant to be pretty close to getting Lacazette.
Yeah, well, last thing I heard about that was Lyon had pretty roundly rejected their offer.
That's what I thought. I thought they said, no, sorry, we don't want to sell him, bye.
The latest I heard, which is from about 2 hours ago, is they've offered 37 million as a final bid.
Well, to be fair, if they're going to go for it, yeah, I do think they should go for it. I always think with Arsenal, you always hear so much. They you hear about the same amount for their transfers as you do about Man United. But the difference is, with Man United, they might come off on the last day of the season. With Arsenal, they just don't really happen. I personally think if they want to seriously compete for the title, because they are probably the best placed club to go and win the title this year, they need to go out and get a striker, another central midfielder, and a centre back. That's the minimum. And good ones. They need to go and spend 100 million plus.
I don't think Arsenal are going to be sniffing around the title this season.
I don't think they will.
Well, no, neither do I. I was saying they're best placed in terms of they finished second last year. They've probably got on paper the best side in the league, but only if they go out and spend a little bit more money, which I don't think they're going to do. Not to any realistic and, you know, actual making a difference level. So, yeah. Not optimistic about Arsenal. Sorry, Arsenal fans. okay, let's talk about their rivals, Tottenham. Now, they have been decently busy so far. Vincent Janssen, who had an absolutely storming season in the Eredivisie, has come in from AZ Alkmaar for about 20 million, and Victor Wanyama for about 12 million. They've not lost anyone, but most of their players who went to the Euros had an absolutely horrible time. Even the players who went to the Copa America had a horrible time.
Yeah.
Do we think that, especially with the way they dropped off last season, and the fact it's kind of been proven now that you cannot keep the high-pressing game up for the entire season, and the way these players obviously went off and just got the shit kicked out of them mentally, that they could have a real potential to drop off?
They do seem to have a bit of an issue with the morale, don't they, at Spurs?
Because I'll go back to what we were saying at the end of last season. We were all saying this Tottenham side could go on and do things. But after that Euros and after the Copa America, where obviously you had the Argentinian players and the England players going off and just suffering, I don't know. I just don't think they have the kind of momentum they had before.
I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to start off very slowly. I mean, it's like in any sport. I mean, we could look at it with cricket as another example. When confidence is high, it's fantastic, and it's all brilliant. You're winning. It's all where you're running smoothly. You win. But when you suddenly sort of lose that confidence, I mean, they had that horrible end to the season. It was horrible, wasn't it? Like the Chelsea game, the West Brom game, the Newcastle game. And then, as you said it yourself, the World Cup, I mean, Tottenham were slated after the World Cup, saying all these players are crap. I was defending them, saying it's more like they're knackered, because Tottenham played so well all season, and all of them were starting every game, especially Harry Kane. I think they're going to struggle at the start of the season. I think it might kick in once they get a bit of momentum going, but it's going to take when confidence goes, it can take an awful long time to get back.
Especially to strikers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I'm incredibly biased, but I have a feeling Pochettino is going to be a bit found out this season. I think
he may come to regret not taking the Argentina job.
Yeah, I think the high-pressing game is very good and all, but the reason why it has had so much success in sort of the first few seasons it was really introduced into the Premier League in the modern era is because we hadn't really seen it before, and nobody really knew what they were doing. Last season we saw the development of counter-attacking football, or the redevelopment of counter-attacking football, and now everyone's doing it, and that is how you play against the high-pressing sides. People kind of... They were working out by the end of the season how you play against Spurs. Spurs started to struggle, and it wasn't just the Chelsea game. They were struggling full stop. I think as you combine that with all the other factors, I think they're in line for a bad season. And I'm not just saying that because I don't like Spurs. I genuinely don't think they're going to have a good season this year.
I don't think they're going to finish as high as they did this season. And I do like Spurs.
I would be astonished if they got top four.
Yeah, I like Spurs, but I don't think they're going to get Champions League football this year. I think I've got a funny feeling Levy could get... So, you know, Levy has a very short temper, he could even go and sack Pochettino. If it goes tits up, I mean, obviously that would be a ludicrous decision because he's quality, but we know what Levy's like. So, it's going to be.
Their buying of Yampton surprised me
because of Harry Kane.
Yeah,
go on.
I thought he was. I think he's tailor made to the Premier League. From what I've seen of him, I've had a bit of an eye on him for a while. Over in the Dutch league, and I think he's perfect for the Premier League as a traditional striker, but I don't think Spurs are the right club for him.
Well, neither do I, because you've got Harry Kane, who is an out and out centre forward, and you've got
and not even that though, because just the style of play off Spurs.
I can see your point with that. I just think two out and out strikers very rarely works in the Premier League. One of them has to drop deep or drop to the bench.
I think he'd have been perfect to go to a club like Everton as a Lukaku replacement.
That was exactly the one I was about to say. Yeah. The other signing made is Victor Wanyama, and that personally is, I know I'm going to say this because I'm a Southampton fan, but I think that's a shit signing. Cause, and this is the thing, everyone who watches Southampton play, you know, they'll watch us, you know, three times a year on Sky, on BT, whatever. They always go, oh, Wanyama, he's a great player. Do you know why they say that? Because when we're on TV, we're playing the clubs like United and like all of that lot. So they're going to go and say, oh yeah, he's playing really well because he plays well in the big games. What they don't see is the 30 other games he plays this season in which he is either injured or suspended or playing awful. And I think people really don't get that with Wanyama. He's a big game player, but nothing else. He does not show up in the smaller games. And I have never seen a player get suspended as much as him. Every single game he played, he got a booking. Every single
one.
Well,
it's like the season before when we bought Schneiderlin off you.
Yeah.
And you'd been saying for a season that he's just not the player he was anymore. Yeah. And it turned out to be the case, because he's been pretty gash for United.
Yeah, it's a player who was playing very much for his move, but they're players who always have an eye on something bigger, something bigger. They never really got their head quite in it, so they only play well in the big games. And as much as they are good players, they'll look good in a team like Southampton, where it's a team unit, it's a cohesive team unit. But in another side, a side like Spurs, a side like, you know, United, for instance, you're looking at a lot of individuals. You're not going to have someone else to pick up the slack, the stuff you're missing out on. You're not going to have the James Ward-Prowse in, you know, Tottenham side who's going to say, right, Wanyama, I know you're going to be flying in everywhere, so I'm going to cover you. You're not going to have those players. They're not going to do it for you. You've got to actually have a responsibility to yourself to actually make the smart decisions. And Wanyama, he doesn't have that. So I think even though a lot of people are looking at it and going, 12 million, oh, that's all right, for a, you know, Premier League centre midfielder who's been looking good, I just can't see him going on and doing anything amazing. This is, as far as I'm concerned, this is the highest position he's going to reach in his career.
Yeah, I've been disappointed with Spurs so far this summer. I think Janssen will do well in the Premier League, but I don't think that Spurs was the right club for him. And they're going backwards for me this summer, Spurs.
Agreed. Right, let's talk about fourth place last year, Manchester City. Now, okay, they've not been the busiest, but new manager, Pep Guardiola, they've signed Ilkay Gundogan of Borussia Dortmund, don't know if I've got that right, Nolito of Celta de Vigo, who was also in the Spain squad. I don't think they've had any significant players leave. Dzeko, I think he's finally gone, and Demichelis left.
And I think Nasri's probably going to be on his way.
Oh, yeah.
He's already been excluded from training with the first team for being fat.
Yeah, but the rest of the stuff is just loans and stuff.
That's a very good policy. That's a great policy. I think it's true. If you're a professional footballer, you should be keeping your body in shape. And say, if you're not meeting the standards, then go and train and get fit until you work on back. I think it's a great rule.
All right, but okay. They've got in Pep Guardiola. How is this season going to go for him? Because I'm probably going to go against what people are going to say on this podcast. I don't think Guardiola is going to be a success in the Premier League.
I think he'll be okay. I don't think he'll win the league first time right in the. I don't think he'll win the league, but I think he'll do okay. He'll get Champions League, obviously. I think it's going to be good to see him in the Premier League. But I think I just think he'll be a solid start. A bit like Mourinho's first season back at Chelsea. I think it'll be a solid finish, but it won't quite win the league. He might win one of the cups, but I think it'll be a third or fourth or second finish.
I think his normal defensive tactics could come under quite a bit of pressure. I think the English Premier League will be a bit of a shock to him on defending.
Well, it's been a shock to every manager who's come, you know, with the big reputation, like your likes of Louis van Gaal, who've not done a league that's any kind of similar to a Premier League. For all of those managers, it's been a shock every single time they've come here. I think maybe the only one who's been a success outright was Ancelotti.
Yeah, but he came from, you know, a very much an Italian background, which is a very defensive league in itself. You know, you look at Guardiola and the teams that he's had, you know, Barca, where they played out from the back, didn't have to do a lot of defending. Bayern didn't have to do much defending at all in the Bundesliga last couple of years. While City are going to have to, at times, defend. And buying a player like John Stones for 50 million, and he's going to be partnered with, what, possibly Fernandinho, by the look of it.
I mean,
company.
No, he's looking at putting Fernandinho centre back. Company's not going to be fit, is he?
Well, Guardiola always moves one player around position. For me, I think the big thing with what's going to go wrong with Guardiola at City is, If you're in the, you know, the La Liga, or if you're in the, you know, the Bundesliga, you're gonna go up against teams every season, and it's not gonna be one team, it's gonna be 10 or so teams, where you're gonna go to them and they're gonna let you play. They're gonna say, right, you're better than us, you do your thing, we'll hope for the lucky goal, and we'll hope we maybe get something. That's it, that's what they're gonna hope for. Premier League, Crystal Palace away will give you a game. They will say, you wanna come to us and beat us? Alright, let's give it a go. We will have a go at you. Every single club in the Premier League does that. There's no easy games. It's competitive top to bottom. And I think with managers like Guardiola, it showed up with Van Gaal when he came here. They don't adjust terribly well to that, because they go in with this high-minded tactic of, we will dominate, we will play this fancy football. And in the Premier League, 10 games, your players are knackered, because they can't sustain it against Premier League players. So that's, if anything's going to, you know, bring down the Guardiola, you know, juggernaut of just winning everything, it'll be this.
The one thing I find interesting is, like, as you say, they've not done a huge amount of transfers so far, but they're linked quite strongly with three players coming in at the moment, which is John Stones, Leroy Sané, and Gabriel Jesus, or Jesus. Now, Sané and Jesus are both very, very attacking players.
They're also very young.
They're both fast wingers, and that's not the sort of, if you look at City going forward, it's not a typical Guardiola setup. You know, going back to Barcelona, perhaps a bit more influenced by what they had at Bayern with the likes of Kingsley Coman and such.
I
think they're going to score a lot of goals, but I don't think they're going to win the title.
See, I just look at what they're trying to do, and I think, did they not learn from Raheem Sterling? And I actually still maintain Raheem Sterling had a good season last year, in terms of, he's, what, 20 years old, and he actually did kind of decently for a 20-year-old in the Premier League. But you look at what they're trying to do, and you think, you're Man City, surely you should be going out there and signing the world's best players, or at least trying to. They're doing what Liverpool do, sign the players who might be the world's best players, but you're signing them for the fees you'd pay for the world's best players anyway. John Stones for £50 million, I'm sorry, sure, he might end up being the best, you know, ball-playing centre-back in the world. He might do. Also, he might never end up being worth more than £25 million. I just can't understand what they're doing with this. It doesn't make sense to me.
With the money being talked about for Pogba, paying half that for John Stones seems a worse deal.
It just seems stupid to me. I mean, I know, and some, you know, fans are going to say, it's not, you know, if Man City wanted him, they'd pay £1 for him. It's Everton who are pushing the price up, yes, but at the same time, you just don't negotiate then. John Stones' only value is in the fact other players want to sign him. If they let it happen, he will run down his contract and say, look, I can get a move to anyone now. So, City have to say, when they go to them, they have to say, 50 million, alright, let's come back in 2 years and we'll get that down to 20. You have to be hard about this. £50 million is stupid. I think they're just afraid someone else is going to sign him.
And I think that's what it is. I think with Guardiola in charge of him, I reckon he could be one of. I reckon it's good for England. I think he could go on and be one of England's best centre backs of all time.
I think he's good. For me, it's a situation a bit similar to Wanyama, because I have seen quite a lot of Everton last season. And Stones looks very good in the big games, but people don't realise how many mistakes he makes. He is very error-prone.
I think people sort of get a bit excited in the pants because it's an English defender that can pass.
Yeah, it's like the Rio Ferdinand.
It reminds me of Lewis Dunk a bit for Brighton. Fantastic player, not without question. However, you just know there's a reckless moment coming and it could potentially cost a game. And I see that John Stones has hit with Dunk himself. I've seen it. I saw it with Everton last year. I think he gave away a penalty in the last minute in the game. I saw it. He gave the ball away a few times and led to goals. So it's they're very similar.
I think he's the most continental centre-back that we've had since, like, Rio.
Yeah, and I think people kind of get, you know, there's the whole potential thing and there's the whole it's a not common kind of English player that's bumping up this price. As much as I think he's good and as much as I think he will probably be England's best centre-back for the next generation, I don't think we'll be talking about him as one of the best centre-backs in the world. You know, you're looking at Sergio Ramos and Jerome Boateng, looking at those kinds of players and saying, yeah, they're the best centre-backs in the world at this time. We won't be talking about Stones like that. And £50 million in 10 years, that's still going to be a shit ton of money for a centre-back.
How much did Mats Hummels go for?
I can't check, but I don't think it was more than £40 million.
I think it was 28.
Yeah, it was relatively low. And that is a genuinely world-class centre-back. And I know, obviously, he's not a Premier League player, so he's not going to go for a Premier League price tag. But, ain't it? You know, in 10 years' time, you're not going to have inflation in football go up that much. It'll go up a significant amount, but it won't go up that much. That will still be a ridiculous price tag for a centre-back then. So I just look at it and think, if you're paying for potential, and you know that he will never be worth that much money, what are you really paying for? Because he'll cost them games, John Stones. He cost Everton about 5 games last season with his mistakes. And at £50 million, they can't say, right, OK, you're going to play maybe 20 games this season. He's got to be on the pitch every single time. I think that's just absolutely daft, that one, if that goes through.
Gabriel Jesus, though, or Jesus, whatever, he looks a quality player. I know he's only playing in the Brazilian league at the moment, but he's absolutely on fire over there at the moment.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think the problem with Brazilian players is either when they do their thing, they are the best players in the world, or they might as well not show up. That's just the problem with players who come from the Brazilian league. They either do
it's a risky transfer because he could be the next, you know, whatever the next failure from Brazil is, or he could be the next Neymar.
Yeah, he could be the next Neymar, or he could be the next Anderson. Yeah. This is one of those situations. Speaking of Anderson, let's move on to Man United. Obviously, a lot's happened with United. Jose Mourinho has become the new manager. They've signed Henrik Mkhitaryan for about £35 million. Eric Bailly for about £35 million. Zlatan Ibrahimovic on a free. Fair enough. Well done to them. And they are looking like signing Paul Pogba for a record-breaking £100 million transfer fee. So, yes. Richard, how are you feeling? Because last year, was it last year or the year before?
It was last year.
Yeah, when it was Radamel Falcao came in and Angel Di Maria came in.
That was the season before when that happened.
Yeah, and you were super, super excited. That was when Louis van Gaal had first come in, wasn't it? And you were so excited. Are you feeling similar right now?
I am. I'm building myself up for a really big fall yet again.
Oh no.
Which other side though in the world can finish fifth in their league and break the world transfer record, bring in the likes of Mkhitaryan and Ibrahimovic? No other club can do that.
Ibrahimovic would be crap.
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and say if Real Madrid finished fifth, they'd still be able to do that.
In my opinion, Man United have got the best manager in the world, and so what you want. I mean, Chelsea, yep. Chelsea's second season, yep. We can all look at it and laugh, but he's the best manager in the world, I think, still, and a new chapter. And I think Man United are going to win the Premier League next season.
I'd be very happy if they did. I bloody hope you would be happy.
Jesus.
They've been for a lot of these last years. I think it'll be quite nice to see them win the league again.
Bollocks, have United fans been through a lot?
It's going to be the last transfer coming in, though.
Bollocks, have United...
I think they'll get Matic as well.
Sorry, bollocks, have United fans been through a lot? They just haven't won everything for once. Yeah. Going through a lot is being West Brom through your yo-yo years, of just up, down, up, down, up, down. But Man United fans have just not had a great time. That's all it is.
No, we still won the FA Cup last year.
Yeah, Jesus. No, Pogba, though. We'll talk about Pogba last. Let's talk about Mkhitaryan first. That's
he
the
is
one.
Quality.
Yeah, that's the one I think will be a successful signing. I think that'll be a very successful signing because he is a very, very good player and he is a perfect fit for the Premier League, I think.
Yeah, he is such an intelligent player. And what I was amazed at was when the rumours were he was moving to United, there were so many fans going on about, like, oh, he's just going to be like one matter intelligent, but he ain't got any speed to. He nearly had a career as a 100-metre sprinter.
Yeah, he's rapid.
So I really don't understand where those claims came from. He can bomb it. The number of assists I think he's going to get this season is going to be, you know, double figures and beyond.
And
I think they'll win the league.
Yeah, for once as well, I think that's a transfer that is about the right price. For modern football standards, 35 million, which is what it says on Transfermarkt, I think that's about right for a player of that quality. Because you look at sort of other players of equivalent quality, who would you get for less than that money?
Yeah, he's one of the best in the world at what he does.
Yeah, I think that's a very good signing. Now, here's the other one, which I don't think is a good signing, mostly because of the absolutely absurd fee. You know what I'm going to say? Eric Bailly, or Bally, or whatever the hell. Ivory Coast centre-back, 22 years old. I mean,
It was a bit left-wing, left-field, that.
Left-wing, damn, he's a Marxist. I'm sorry, but what were they thinking? 32, I mean, yeah, sure, he might end up being one of the best centre-backs in the world. Sure, that could happen. Probably not.
It's a bit John Stones, isn't it?
It's even worse than John Stones. This guy's been playing for Villarreal. He's not like he's been strutting his stuff for Barcelona and, oh, he's just fallen out of favour.
No, Villarreal did well in the La Liga last year, and he was in the, like, the young team of the year in La Liga. So he's got a bit of form, but it was a lot of money for a player I'm sure not many other clubs were sniffing around.
Yeah, that's the thing that strikes me, is I don't think a lot of people would have been going, oh, he's top of our list, we've got to get him, he's the next best centre-back. I mean, I'll put it this way, if that transfer had gone through and he had said, Eric Bailly moved to United for 15 million, I think even then people would have gone, oh, that's a bit much for someone who's not too well known. But 30, yeah. Oh my God, it's obscene. That's crazy. I can't understand that one genuinely, because I think, especially from what I've heard of him, is he doesn't seem like he's going to be the kind of player who fits in terribly well in the Premier League.
No, he's still a raw talent. I'm questioning that one.
Yeah, and I can tell you wanted to be optimistic, but you couldn't quite no. Reason it out. For me, I've heard very similar things about him, which is that he's a bit like the former Villarreal player, Gabriel, whatever, the one who went to Arsenal, and he's a very sort of attacking centre-back. And I think if you look through the history of the Premier League, attacking centre-backs, the only successful one has been Kompany. And even him, he's not been the most successful one, has he? He's been making a lot of mistakes, he gets injured a lot, all of that sort of stuff. I just think that kind of player, it's a bit like, for me, this is Man United's Mangala. It's one of those ones where you go, that's a lot of money for a centre-back, and I really cannot see how it's going to work out.
Yeah.
I think the best foreign centre-backs that we've seen come to the Premier League are probably in Vertonghen and Alderweireld.
I'd say, yeah, people like Alderweireld, the centre-backs who actually, yeah, they can kick the ball about, they can play it.
I'd say Sam and Vidal, and Vidic myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like over the last season, was a club, yeah. Oh yeah, Vidic was probably the best.
Yeah, this is the proper defensive players. They're the ones who come into the Premier League and do well. I don't really see what's going on. But let's talk about the other one. Now, this one, I think you can't really fault it because it's a free transfer. Ibrahimovic. Success in the Premier League or not success?
It depends what you determine as success.
Nah, it'll be shit.
For Ibrahimovic levels, he's got to get minimum of 20 goals a season.
I don't think he will get that, because I don't think he'll play enough games to get that. But I think what he will bring both to the club, behind the scenes and marketing wise, it will be a good thing.
Okay, does not saying that sentence make you want to instantly kill yourself?
No,
as a football fan, come on!
Yeah, it's Manchester United, and Manchester United aren't just about the 90 minutes on the pitch every weekend anymore. They are a global company.
I'm sorry, if that was Southampton, I would literally want to throw myself out my window. That's miserable. That's horrible.
No, it's not, because it's that the shirts he sells and such then generate the next Pogba deal and stuff next season.
Sorry about the minor earthquake we just had then. No, I'm sorry. Have you got a job at Man United? Are you part of the marketing department now? That's not football.
I work in marketing.
That's not football. That, oh, no. Okay.
That is football in this year, in this century.
Fuck
We're
that.
We're not in the last century anymore.
We can be if we choose to be. Oh, no, let's look.
Five players purely for marketing nowadays. And United have done it for years. Like, so, okay, it was all right on the pitch, but it didn't dig up trees on the pitch. But like Park Ji-sung,
I disagree. I think he was a fantastic player.
He was all right for United, purely because
underrated.
He would sell shirts in the Far East.
Alright, okay, let's move on from this topic because this isn't really on point. As much as I know we'd have a good one about this, I personally don't think he's going to be a massive success in the Premier League, simply because he's very late on in his career. He's never played in the Premier League before, and it is a notoriously difficult league to adjust to.
Oh, he'll be crap.
And I don't think he's actually going to care that much this year. It's not like he's got another season in the Champions League where he can go and break some records and do some amazing things and still maybe compete to be one of the best players in the world. I think this is kind of like the sort of reverse version of moving to China. It's moving for the payday, for the reputation, but for football reasons. Even you said the club aren't doing this for football reasons. I don't think
his ego would let him play badly.
And I don't think he's going to intentionally try to play badly, but in terms of the sort of...
Yeah, but you sort of said he'd take it down a notch and that he'd like a move to China. His professionalism and ego that he has, I don't think he'd let himself do that.
No, I agree. I don't think take it down a notch, but I think in terms of his personal drive, that will go down, whether or not he intends to or not, because it's no longer really the same kind of level.
I think that he's thinking of it as that, he's won a league title, what is it, 12 out of the last 13 seasons he's been played at six different clubs.
Yeah, but you've also got to remember he was starting every single week for most clubs. You've said it yourself, you don't think he's going to start that many games enough to get 20 goals in the season. I think it's a very different season to what Ibrahimovic is being used to, and I think that it won't make him, intentionally drop down the sort of level he's playing at, but I think when you lose that sort of competitive edge, that bit that says, I have to win every week, I have to play every week, I've got to be the best. I think when you lose that, and I think that's what he will lose this year, players like Ibrahimovic drop off a lot.
What I think, apart from the marketing side, which I've mentioned, what I think he will bring to United is, on the training pitch, Marcus Rashford will learn so much off him.
Huh. Yeah, that's a fairly good point. He's going to have a lot to teach younger kids.
I agree with that.
Because you look at Marcus Rashford, and he was the one glimmer of hope of the England campaign. At the championship, and that was in 7 minutes or whatever he got in his last game.
That's how bad it was for England.
But he looked like he wasn't frightened by the situation, and he looks a decent talent for England going forward. And he's got now somebody that has genuinely been for his entire career probably the best out and out striker in the world.
See, I do agree with you, but I'm going to offer up a counter-argument for the sake of it. Could it not go the other way that in the typical Mourinho fashion, that a young player is going to get forced to the sidelines in favour of an older one?
He will get forced to the sidelines.
And what will be better
periods.
For his development?
And playing more regularly, that's not a bad thing.
Right, but what would be more beneficial to his development? Playing regularly, or at least getting maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 games in the season, or maybe getting less than 10, but having Ibrahimovic in the back room with you?
But I think he'll still get 15, 20 games. But I don't want him to... you look at the likes of Rooney, who's... Is he 31 now, Rooney?
Something like that, 30 or 31.
And he's burnt out, because he came in at that early age and played every single game.
Yeah, Owen is another good example there.
So, do we want Marcus Rashford to be that player?
Personally, I don't think Marcus Rashford's going to set the world on fire. I think he'll be Danny Welbeck, Danny Sturridge level. But that's just my own personal opinion. I would personally think his development would be better served without a player like Ibrahimovic potentially blocking off his path for another 2 years.
I think Ibra's only going to be there for one season in a playing role.
Yeah, I think he's only going to be there for one season.
If it's that, I think that might be, you know, at least decent for his development.
I said, though, he's only going to be there for 1 year in a playing position. I think he's already been earmarked to take over as assistant.
Christ, I cannot imagine who is the Ibrahimovic as an assistant manager.
The assistant for this year.
It's the guy that he usually follows him round, I think.
I thought that was the Middlesbrough manager.
No, it's that Paolo something. Flavio.
Paolo Sosa.
Some guy. we all know his face.
I think we'll be going on to Mourinho's management team next year.
Alright, okay. Unless there's any... Oh, we didn't talk about Pogba. Wow, what a thing to forget. Man United might be breaking the world transfer record by a considerable amount for a central midfielder.
By signing an average player that they let go.
Yeah, by signing a central midfielder. Now, I think we can already tell where me and Nick are in this camp. Richard, this is going to be the world's best thing.
He is not an average player.
This is going to be the world's best thing ever, right?
He is not Messi. He is not Ronaldo.
He's a midfielder.
They play in a different role. Who was it that was going on about the other day? I think it might have even been like Scholes or something. Who's beginning to annoy me a bit with some of the things he keeps coming out with about United nowadays. For that money, you should be scoring 50 goals. Well, sometimes you need a central midfielder. And I don't think there's a better central midfielder going nowadays than them.
I don't think that many people are going to argue about the quality he has, which I think if he is not already one of the best central midfielders in the world, he is...
Overrated.
I personally agree. Yes, I do think he's a bit overrated.
He did nothing at the Euros. He was terrible.
The Euros is not the be-all and end-all of the world.
Ronaldo
played well in one game, and he came away with a winner's medal. Yeah, Thomas Muller did shag all at the Euros.
Will Grigg?
Will Grigg's on fire. Your defence is so fire. Will Grigg's on fire.
Most of the world-class players did nothing at the Euros.
Right, okay. Beyond the Euros, this is my problem with it. It isn't the player, because I think if he is either one of the best central midfielders in the world, or he's got...
He will score goals.
Nick, shut up.
He will score them all. He will score goals. Will be on fire.
Either that, or he has the potential to be the world's best central midfielder. But either way, this is where I do kind of agree with this point Paul Scholes made. £100 million, a world record fee for a central midfielder. That kind of money, he has to win you... he's got to win you 30 games in a season. And before you say that's ridiculous, Ronaldo and Messi win their clubs 30 games in a season. They do it that much. Paul Pogba will not do that. He will not win them more than... If he won 10 games in a season for a central midfielder, that's an amazing performance. He will not do that. This is why I can't understand this transfer.
The difference is, though, that the money that United are currently bringing in, £100 million... sounds a lot, but it's not that much to United now. In regards to turnover for United, this transfer is less than the Rio Ferdinand transfer.
But what about profit? The only thing that really matters.
The profit's like fine at United now.
It's not £100 million. Okay, you can make the financial point, it's all relative, but it isn't all relative. Leeds United probably thought, back when they were having their great times, we can spend this money, we'll be here forever. Every empire thinks it will last forever. In, let's say, 20 years' time, let's just say, for argument's sake, Man United have a terrible period, they can't get the managers right, they start to fall down the league, they still have that big club reputation like Liverpool, but unlike Liverpool, it goes worse. And maybe they go down just once. That's all they do. Are they going to still be saying £100 million? Yeah, that's sure. That was fair enough. No, it will be, what the hell were we doing? We pissed away our good times. It's not all relative. It's not. It's a fixed amount. It's £100 million no matter what club it is. And for a central midfielder, especially considering the second someone pays that money for a central midfielder, it forces every single player's price up a little bit more. And the inflation, the ridiculous money going on in football keeps climbing higher, where an agent can get €20 million for one transfer. All of that keeps going. And I just think it is absurd for that money. Paul Pogba should not cost Man United more than £50 million. And I know it's the same point, but we have to talk about what the selling club is selling.
He shouldn't have cost anything if Fergie hadn't played fucking Raphael.
Well, obvious point there, yeah. But I know we've got to talk about, you know, what money the club's demanding, but it's the same situation as John Stones. If they're saying you're going to pay £100 million for us, you just say no. It's not like it's such a position. Man United have a crippling lack of any kind of decent talent in the midfield. They've got to pay out big money just to get one. It's not that situation. I understand.
I disagree again on that. I think with this, with United, it was not only was it about getting a certain player in, but I think it was about making a statement.
I agree completely, and that's why I think it's a bad decision. I think it's a bad decision because if you make a vanity purchase like this for £100 million, it's the same kind of conversation we're having before. You're in football for the wrong reasons.
United are wanting to make a statement to both, like, Real Madrid and Barcelona, and obviously then to the likes of City and Chelsea, that although they finish fifth, they have the financial muscle to outbid Real Madrid nowadays.
Okay, here's a question I've got for you. And I want you to answer in just, you know, one or two words. Does this purchase have more to do with footballing reasons or non-footballing reasons? Is this about what he's going to do on the pitch, or is this a vanity buy?
It's a vanity buy.
Thank you.
Yes, but it can also still have a very good football effect.
Yeah, no, there's no question it could.
I think he can win United the title.
Yeah, there's no question he's a great player and he could become the best player in the world in that position. But motivation from this club, from the fans, you're saying this is a vanity buy. You agree with that?
Yes.
All right, and that's why I think it's total bullshit, this signing. Because if you're willing to spunk out £100 million, not only are you fucking things up for yourself, because, I'm sorry, the Roman Empire thought it would last forever. No empire lasts forever. Man United will be shit eventually. It might take 100 years, but they will be shit eventually. And if you're willing to do this to football, spending that kind of money, having that kind of money going through the agents' pockets, you are everything wrong with football.
Real Madrid do it every summer.
And I say for ages they're everything wrong with football. I don't disagree
with
that.
Where are Real Madrid in the world at the moment?
I don't know. Where are they in the world?
Well, they're the champions of Europe.
Right, yeah. They're amazing. And when they spend that money on Ronaldo, yes, he has a great impact on the pitch and he's a great player. But also, it was still at the time a vanity purchase. They are still everything wrong with football. And Man United are going, well, they do it. We should do it too. It's for jumping off a bridge thing, you know, the thing your mum used to say when you were going to do something stupid because your friends were doing it. This is obscene. This is absolutely obscene.
But the clubs that spend the biggest amount of money win things.
Right, but so long, it's the same thing as international politics. So long as everyone is looking out for themselves and not thinking about the consequences to a greater idea, then no one actually progresses at all. Not really. You just push the price up for everyone, including yourself. If actual people in football got together and they made agreements, and before you say they're not going to do that, because they do actually have the organisations that are supposed to do this, and agree, okay, maybe we've gone a bit too far with the money and all of this lot. Can we maybe go back to the higher ideas of sportsmanship and this kind of stuff? If they do that, and they can do that, don't say it's unrealistic, then we can actually progress away from the bullshit that we're getting in football. Football is going too far with the bullshit. It needs to cut back. And this thing is sending it further on its way. This isn't going back. That's why it's everything wrong with football. And I think Man United are becoming the epitome of that in the Premier League. I used to like this club.
This is the modern world in a capitalist country.
Yeah, bollocks, and it doesn't have to be that way.
This is just life. This happens.
No, bollocks. Is this just the way it's got to be? We can change if we essentially just decide to. Things are only this way because we agree that they're this way. It's perception more than anything else. And I know we're almost having a philosophical argument at this point, but for me, you know, I'm not so. I know on the podcast I go on Man United a bit hard, and that's because obviously we've got Man United supporters on this podcast. But this is a club I actually liked. This is a club that when, you know, people are competing for a title, they're the ones I kind of wanted to win, because they were the club that gave a shit about youth, gave a shit about the English players. They even seem to care about having some idea of keeping a Mandarin for a long time, because it's good for stability in world football, not just at the club. They had an idea of a higher purpose beyond Man United. It was
United
itself.
Only ever kept a manager in for a long time because he kept him at the top of the tree.
Oh yeah, no, and I don't disagree that there wasn't. It's the same situation. Does it have the football benefits as well? And yes, obviously it did. And obviously it had the cynical things as well. But they were a club that, at least when things were going well, they had a sense of pride about football. Not just about Man United football, about football. And they have shit on that. They've shit all over that and said, we don't give a shit, we're in this for the money, we're in this just for our own images, we're in this for all the wrong reasons. That is not football. I'm sorry, that is not cricket. That's to change that statement, gets me angry, genuinely does.
I think you're pissing in the wind.
I probably am, but I will maintain pissing in the wind even if I get a bit wet. Alright, let's talk about Southampton. Yay! Southampton are having a year, just like we do every other year, where we sell most of our players, but sign a few ones who will probably replace them and then some. We've signed Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, Danish player, for $12 million. Very highly rated.
The one from Bayern?
Yep. And we've signed Nathan Redmond for $11 million from Norwich. I think those are two good signings, personally. I don't think they've set the world on fire, but they're good. They're worth the money, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't overly rate either, to be honest.
Are you just saying that because I've been harsh on your club?
No, I think, like the Højbjerg one from Bayern, he didn't seem to. He wasn't breaking through into the side, and I know it's a hard side to break through into, but you look at the likes of Kimmich, and he showed the quality to get into the side, and as a result, was like one of the best players at the European Championships.
For me, I would personally say I would agree it's a risky one, but for £12 million, which is, for me, about the baseline for a solid, you know, what should be Premier League standard midfielder, especially with the potential he supposedly has, I think it's one that's not terribly risky. I'll put it this way, if it fails, it'll go completely under the radar, and no one will care.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of money, though, for a player that basically the same as buying, you know, a youth player from United or a Chelsea one that's, you know, just because he's come from Bayern, it seems to have made him a better player.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. I personally think it will work out because knowing what I know about the player, I think he does fit the Premier League sort of style in terms of he's very physical, but he's got the technical ability. The only concern I have personally about this transfer is this going to force one of James Ward-Prowse or Harrison Reed into not playing? That's the one thing I don't like about it, is it might end up doing that. Hopefully they'll end up playing alongside each other, though. Also, Nathan Redmond for $11 million. For me, I'm very pleased about that, because it's a good English talent for a not ridiculous price, especially for an English player, and it's in a position we badly needed. We needed a fast winger.
I'll be fair on Redmond and say I have not really seen as much of him as I probably should have. I think it's probably because he plays to Norwich and I'd rather stick my scrotum in a draw and slam it shut.
Wow. That is a bad time. yeah, he's quite hot and cold. That's the only concern I've got about Redmond. He's a bit like all the players we sign. They're very good against the big clubs, but it's the rest of them we struggle against. On the other side, we have lost a lot of players. Sadio Mane has gone to Liverpool for $35 million. Graziano Pella has left for...
You saw Liverpool coming with that one.
Yeah, yeah. That was a ridiculous fee.
I do love that he's come out and said that he rejected United to go to Liverpool. Thank you for rejecting United.
Yeah, Jesus, that is a lot of money for a player who is not that good. Graziano Pella, that's another one who's a lot of money for a player who's just turned, I think, 31, 32. We've actually made a profit off of an aging player we signed to sort of have him finish his career here. That's crazy. And he went to, I think, one of the Chinese sides where he is now the joint fourth highest earning player in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's got the name for it, Pella, but I don't think he's quite got the ability. And Victor Wanyama, the other one we sold, obviously mentioned before. How do we reckon Southampton will do? I'll try and keep quiet on this one.
I think they're getting to the bottom of the well now a bit.
I don't disagree.
I don't... I can't see them keep being a selling club and still managing to keep on bringing through a better player each time.
No, I agree. I think you can only do that for so long before people have caught on to what you're doing. And the players you're buying are now costing more. The players you're selling, you're not selling for quite as much as you were before. And it all just starts to break down a little bit. I mean, there's not that many great players in the world that you can keep doing this. Especially the undiscovered great players.
I don't think Southampton are going to have as good a time as they've had for the last few seasons. And I keep saying this to every club at the moment. Well, I've said this with Arsenal and Spurs. So
God, Burnley are going to win the league.
I can't see Southampton finishing in sixth this season.
I personally think we will... I'm actually mostly agree. I want to be a bit more optimistic, but especially with the manager we've got in Claude Puel, who doesn't know the Premier League. Yes, it's worked out before well for us with Pochettino first and what's his name? Koeman. We lost him. Yeah, it's worked out well before. Again, it's how many times can you pull off the same trick for the third time?
Yeah, I think the other sides that are around you and challenging for them sort of Europa places have done better.
Yeah.
And haven't as many.
I'll agree. For me, I think on paper we still have as good a side as them, but it's the question of can we actually maintain the morale, the confidence of doing this, or are the other players now going to start thinking, Christ, are we still doing this? Are we still selling all of our players? I mean, you've got to look at the players who have been there for a while now. Like, let's take the example of James Ward-Prowse or Font. How many teammates have they seen come and gone, come into this club and gone on to a bigger club for big money every single time? God, it's got to take its toll eventually. That's the thing I worry about, because I think on paper we're still as good as those other sides, still as good as a side that can finish 6th, 7th, 8th. But I think it's the other stuff now that's going to start playing into it, because, God, you can't do it 3 seasons in a row. And you especially can't do it 4 seasons, because, God, if we actually do manage to do as well, what the hell are we going to do next season? We can't do it again. There's not that many players out there who are undiscovered that we could buy.
And those clubs that are sort of around you, they're all sort of flexing a bit more financial muscle, aren't they now? The likes of your West Ham, even Everton now have got a bit of cash to spend.
Yeah, and we're still a club that has, this isn't a bad thing that we've made money in the transfer market. We're £40 million up in terms of in profit from the transfer market. And that's not a bad thing, but there's got to be a point with Southampton where we sort of turn around and say, we have the ambition to be a big club and maybe our reputation affords us. We're going to go for it. We're not going to sell these players. We're going to keep them. Doesn't matter if they get pissed off for a month or two. We're going to keep them. We're going to sign some of the other players who we would have signed anyway. But in addition to these players, it's now good. It's a typical thing when people go, look how good the Southampton squad could have been if they'd kept hold of their players.
Yeah.
And I think we're just not hitting that point, and I can't really see why. Because when are we going to get a better opportunity than these last two seasons?
So, I think that there's a thing with Southampton, and I think to a higher extent, like we've talked about it with Arsenal, that they sort of put themselves with a glass ceiling upon themselves.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it is mostly the board who are restraining the club. I think they are, I've been slating Man United, but I do think ours is a board that is in a similar sort of trait, that they're looking towards profit and all that lot. And I think it's a bad thing. I think as much as the board have done well in terms of they saved us from, going the way of Coventry or that like and just being destroyed as a club, at the same time, they are now holding us back. And for footballing reasons, they're holding us back. We're richer than we've ever been, but if it's not making a difference to the fans, if it's not making a difference to on the pitch, what's really the point in it? I don't personally see it as... I'm still a footballing idealist, as I imagine you can all tell. Let's move on.
Can I quickly... I know we've moved on from this about 5 minutes ago, but the United... Back to United...
Go
for
it.
...is that I prefer that a lot of this... The money this summer has gone on transfers than going into the Glazers' pockets.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's a redeeming quality, I suppose. Then again, Ibrahimovic won. Is that meant to make money for the Glazers, or is that meant to...
Yeah, they'll still make money for the Glazers.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Liverpool. I know we're skipping a few now, but that's because we took a lot of time with United. Let's talk about Liverpool. It's a very Liverpool season for them, isn't it? Spending absurd amounts of money on players who aren't really worth it and actually letting go some players who were quite good.
They're buying a lot of players again in the similar positions to where they've already got a lot of players.
I mean, we've talked about Mane for 35 million, and I'm sorry, having watched Mane for 2 seasons now, 35 million, he will never be worth that in his entire career. He's good, he's not that good.
Well, one of them that, like you said with Southampton, that when you get to watch him on one day when he's playing, he's bothered to turn up.
Yeah.
He looks a world beater.
But it's the 10 other games you have with him.
For the 8 or 9 games after that, and you might as well have been watching somebody with 2 left feet.
Yeah, and Wijnaldum, Jorginho Wijnaldum from Newcastle, just relegated, 25 million. I mean, I do think he's good, and I think he's better than that Newcastle squad. But gods, he played every game last season. If there was anyone who was, you know, in the same boat as the rest of them who was sent that club down, he was one of them. 25 million.
Where's he going to be playing?
I've no idea, because Mane's a left winger, fundamentally. He doesn't like playing on the right. He likes being up front, in and around the striker, or on the left wing. You've got Coutinho, you've got Firmino. Who else have you got? You've got Sturridge.
Origi.
I mean,
Lallana. They just have a lot of players in the same position now.
Yeah, it's like, I can almost think, maybe as a right winger, but wouldn't you rather have someone like Firmino out there? If you're going to put Coutinho in the hole, and I think he's the only one who you have to say has the, you know, stake to the claim of that position, you'd rather have...
Isn't that Wijnaldum's best position?
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I've been slating some of the other transfers because they're a lot of money, but at least you can say maybe it's a good player, or maybe, you know, maybe there's some decent sense being put into this.
The only thing I can think of is that Coutinho is on his way.
Yeah, maybe. But even then, would you say this is an adequate replacement? Because it's almost like it's a replacement for Firmino, of having him being the second to Coutinho. And that's fine, but 25 million on a player who just got relegated. He's not young. 25. He's not a young player. He's not coming through. He's at his peak years.
Yeah.
That's just... It's Liverpool. It's Liverpool all over. It's a signing that doesn't make any sense on any level.
The one that I quite like the look of is the new centre-back that they brought in. I'd not even heard of him before. And I usually have my ear to ground on a few of the decent players from some of the overseas leagues. But I'd never heard of him at all before, but I watched a bit of him since. And he looked all right.
Well, Ragnar Klavan. Yeah, for me, you know, it's not all bad. We've signed Loris Karius. I think he looks like a talent for a goalkeeper, and especially for the price they got him for, £5 million, that's a bargain for a good goalkeeper. I think that's a good signing. Yeah, I think the Klavan signing is a good one. And I think this is the thing. This is the difference between the signings I think Klopp is saying, can we go out and get, and the signings those people in the Liverpool boardroom who don't really know too much about football but are pretending they do are making. I think those are the kinds of guys who make the 35 million ridiculous signings for Mane, and then you've got Klopp saying, actually, can we just have a good goalkeeper?
Yeah.
I think that's the difference.
That's a definite Klopp signing.
Yeah, that's a good signing as well. So it's not been all bad. Personally, where I think it gets worse is the players they've let go. Because they've obviously lost Martin Skrtel. He's gone to Fenerbahce. And I think even if he's not the best player anymore, that's a big loss to Liverpool. He's been there a long time now. And he's been consistently a decent player for them. Lost Colo Torres, that's another defensive backup they've lost. Joe Allen, for 13 million, is a crazy loss, because he is quality. I'm sorry, if you have actually watched Joe Allen play, and I'm talking regularly, and you don't think he's good, you're not watching the same player. You're watching a different Jesus-looking player. And yeah, the other one is Jordan Ibe, 15 million, which is ridiculous money for someone who barely played at all, but... He's still a good prospect.
Sterling. Yeah, and that says a lot if you're Paul Sterling.
But even so, he's a player that they caught sort of internally in the camp. They rated him very highly. They said, this is our next best youth player. And they've let him go. I just think for Liverpool, it's sort of like, as much as they've done the good signings of Karius and Klavan, it's one step forward, two steps back every single time. And that's why I can't see that club progressing.
And like Brad Smith's gone as well, hasn't he? He was one that was quite heavily touted for a while.
Yeah, this is what I mean. I genuinely don't think Liverpool have a cohesive transfer strategy, because it always seems like for every good move they do, there's another consequent bad one. And it's always slightly offsetting the good one. I just don't really understand what they're doing. And you'd have thought with someone like Klopp in charge, it might... you know, slightly become reasonable with Liverpool. But I think that does kind of prove my earlier point. Managers aren't necessarily having the final say on transfers.
Yeah, you can see the ones that are his dealing, certainly. I think defensively, with the number of, you know, with losing both Skrtel and Torre, and, you know, whatever's going on with Sacco.
God. That's, yeah.
These new defenders that they've brought in, they need to gel very quickly, and it's not easy to gel completely new centre backs.
Mm. All right, we'll move on from Liverpool, because I don't think any of us can make sense of that. Let's talk about Chelsea. Now, obviously, they've made some fairly big signings, but the biggest news is Antonio Conte. I mean, he looks fun. We're going to have fun with him in the Premier League, aren't we?
Some of the touchline antics that are going to go on, I know we've already talked about some of the managers in there, like Klopp and stuff, but can you see what will go on between Conte and Klopp and Conte and Mourinho?
It's going to be great. It's going to be funny. I can't wait.
They're going to need more cameras on the touchline than there are on the pitch.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually very excited, because apart from maybe Simeone and Ancelotti, all of the good worldwide managers are in the Premier League now. And not just the good ones, the ones who are actually genuinely quite entertaining. So yeah, I'm quite pleased with Conte. I personally think Chelsea are going to have some lean years coming up, because as much as I think he's a good manager and he would be good for Chelsea, I think the Premier League has moved on a bit from the years when Chelsea have their dominant period, and I think it's going to be very hard for him to recreate it because of how competitive the league is now.
Well, the thing that they got is, like United, they've not got Champions League this season, so that will it'll benefit them in the league for fitness, but can they go out and buy the top level players like United still have without the Champions League?
Well, we'll talk about the transfers now then. Michy Batshuayi, I think I've got that right. I'm hoping I did. He's a Belgium centre forward from Marseille. He's played in the national team, but I don't think he went to the Euros.
Yeah, he did go to the Euros. He scored in his, basically within about 10 minutes of coming on for Lukaku in a game.
I'm thinking of the other one. Right, yeah, him, £33 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a fairly unproven striker, I'd say. And N'Golo Kante obviously did very well for Leicester, but again, it's the question of, is that a one-season wonder? Will he be able to recreate it in a team of individuals rather than in a team that's playing as a cohesive unit? £30 million. I know quite a lot of older Chelsea fans, and they're all saying the same thing as I'm thinking at the moment, which is, I'm not sure the good times are going to keep rolling for that club. And a lot of them are actually saying, yeah, fair enough, we had our great times. But, you know, we're Chelsea fans. We've been used to it being shit for the majority of the period. Newer Chelsea fans, though, I think they're going to find it very hard to adjust. Because I can't see them getting Champions League this year. I don't think that's a strong enough squad to get Champions League. And I think, especially with the way Abramovich is year on year, I don't think Chelsea have that much in terms of a long-term plan. I kind of worry about how Chelsea are going to work their way back into it.
I don't know, I'm quite liking the direction Chelsea are going in with the transfers that they've made. They're going back to sort of an early Mourinho setup with the players that they're bringing in. They're bringing in just physical players. With like Batshuayi, he could be Drogba cloned again.
Yeah.
Kante is just solid, and they're looking to bring in Koulibaly as well, who he is just an absolute beast of a defender. I think he's 6'5" and is just solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's for Chelsea, I think there's a lot of fans who are going, oh, okay, this is our time to rebuild from it was an aberration last season. Whereas I go the other way, but I think a lot of the older Chelsea fans are going and saying, actually, the years we've had success with the aberration, that was the odd stuff. It's probably going to be normal service resumed. It's going to be a slow death. It's not going to be dramatic. Oh, okay, now they finished 15th forever. But I just can't see them recreating what they did. I think they've got Abramovich who is never thinking more than a year ahead. And I think if you're having a bad time as a club, having a chairman like that will kill you.
It's an interesting one with the players that they're bringing in from what Abramovich has wanted as a club since he took over as this sort of passing fantastic football. I think Conte isn't going to bring that, and especially with the players he's bringing in, it does look going back to the we're going to batter teams into submission team.
Yeah, and
as
much as I'm excited about Conte and as much as I like him as a manager, I can't see him lasting more than 2 years. And I'm going to go ahead and say now on the record, I think he won't be at the club by the start of next season.
He will have a falling out, I imagine.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. A manager like Abramovich, not a manager, a chairman like Abramovich, he's all well and good when times are good, because he's the sort of, you know, ruthless, clinical guy you maybe need at that level. But when times are bad, and you maybe are losing a manager every season, or maybe more than one a season, or you're not keeping a manager for more than two seasons at most, and things aren't improving, he's the last guy you want in charge. He's the absolute last one, because as much as he can still go and spend big money, every single side in the Premier League can. It's not like he can do it before, where he just pumped money into Chelsea until they were a great side. You can't really do that anymore. It doesn't work the same way. So I personally think Chelsea have a real potential now to kind of become the Chelsea of old. Which, good side, play some nice football occasionally, don't really do anything.
No, see, I'm going the opposite. I'm going for not playing a great game, but just getting the job done better. I think they're going to finish third this year.
Well, Chelsea fans, let us know on Twitter which way you think that's going to go. If you're an older one, I reckon you'll be agreeing with me. If you're a younger one, I reckon you'll be agreeing with Richard. Weird how that one's worked out. I think I'm about 20 years younger than you, but all right. Everton. Everton are a club who have not really done anything notable in the transfer market, apart from bringing in Martins to Kellenberg. But they brought in Ronald Koeman, which I'm pissed off about, as you can imagine. And
they're making a lot of sounds, but not actually. They're basically a dog with a bark, but no bite at the moment.
Yeah, they're saying they're going to buy all these players, and I think what keeps happening is it seems like they're really going to buy them, and then you just don't hear anything about that story, and it's almost like it's died, and they've tried to keep it quiet. But then at the same time, it's kind of looking like a lot of their players could leave. Lukaku could leave. I think that one will happen. I think Stones is going to happen. Wouldn't be shocked if Barkley left. Especially if the other two leave.
And see, I don't know about Barkley. I think people, all the teams that were keen on him, have sort of moved on to better players now.
Oh yeah, I don't think he's as good
He's not sort of kept on that ascent of where he's going. He's sort of just leveled, plateaued.
I'll put it this way. I think if the other two leave, and I think they will, I think he'll start making motions to leave as well. And that's when you can end up in a very bad situation where the player wants to leave, club's interested but not going to put in the price that Everton want, and you end up with an unhappy player at that club. And I think you look at the rest of the Everton squad, it's actually not very good. I mean, people slated Martinez, obviously, and they were right to. But you take away those three players, for instance, and you look at what's left. Who's the best player there? Jagielka? Maybe?
That's saying a lot.
It's not a great club, and they're making all these sounds.
I'd say like Seamus Coleman and such.
Yeah, maybe, but even those players aren't, you know, world class. And after what they're left with, I think, especially with the fact they seem to not be able to convince those other big players to join them, considering the fact that all the transfers they've gone for so far have fallen through. I know I may be just saying this because I kind of want Coleman to fail at Everton. But I think it's very realistic. I don't think Everton are a club like Southampton where they can sell those players and then bring in the equivalent, because I just don't think there's that many of those players left. I think everyone's bought those players.
Well, they're trying to get in Witzel, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's a very weird one, isn't it? He, on the face of it, looks like a good player, but at the same time, you have to ask why he's been in fucking Russia for, what, 2-3 years?
I think he's one of those players that just goes... I know I'm saying this as a United fan with what we're doing, but it goes where money...
Yeah, I completely agree. And this is what I'm thinking about Everton. It's like, we've done it, Southampton, for 2 or 3 years, where we sell our very good players, and we've snuck under a radar, and we've got some other very good ones. And then for the same reason I'm saying we cannot do it for another year, and maybe we can't do it this year, I don't think there are that many of those players left who you can sell your players for big money and go out and get some slightly cheaper versions who were actually as good. I think if Everton want to go out and, you know, actually replace the players they're going to lose and improve the side that is not actually very good, they have to spend big on already good players. And of those players, there's going to be serious competition in the market, and I don't think they're going to be able to appeal sufficiently to them. That's the catch 22 I can see with Everton. They've got the money, but they can't compete with reputation.
There's a lot of players that they could have and should have gone for by now, and they seem to just keep missing out on. Because for a few weeks, there's been rumours of Mata going there.
Yeah, that's just died, hasn't it? That's just dropped off.
Yeah, I don't know if Mourinho's patching things up with him, because he's got the squad number now for this season. He seems to have gone quiet on him leaving. But they should have been straight in there and put a firm offer in for him.
Yeah, even a player like the one we signed, Redmond, that's the stalwart kind of Everton player that they'd go for before, isn't it? I mean, it's
The one I mentioned that should have joined them, in Janssen.
Yep, another prime example of a perfect Everton kind of signing. And they're just not doing it. And this is the point I'm making. The players who they should be signing, in terms of the players who are maybe not already recognised as being the talents that they actually are, there aren't many of them in the first place, and most of them have already been signed up. And the other players, the expensive ones and the already recognised ones, are going to have offers that are better than Everton. Better than the money Everton can offer, and better in terms of the club. So I do actually kind of... And historically, Everton are a club I've always liked. Maybe I don't want them to do well this year because of Koeman going there, but they're always a club I have liked. I've got a soft spot for them, but I seriously worry about their future. Because if they lose, let's say that they lose just Lukaku and Stones, and they go out and sign some players who are obviously not quite as good as them, because they can't afford the better ones, or you know, or so on and so on. With the squad they've actually got, they're not very good, and a lot of Premier League sides have gotten a lot better than them very recently.
Yeah, you take them out and you think, you know, it's a bit sort of 12 months ago with Aston Villa losing the likes of Benteke and stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly. You take away the good players and suddenly the players you're left with aren't that good. They've got Koeman who, you know, as much as I want to knock him, he's a good manager, he's a very good manager. But at the same time, they've lost, yeah, they've lost some big names. They've lost Tim Howard, that's another one they've lost. And as much as, you know, he's not the biggest in reputation anymore, he is a player who would have been massive in the dressing room. And not that way. he'd have been a big character. Tony Hibbert, another stalwart club player. Leon Osman, he's been there for ages as well. Stephen Pienaar, he's been there and been back. It's just...
They need to do something quick.
Yeah, and they need to do something big. They need to make a statement. They need to go out there and sign someone like Mata to say to the other players out there, you can come to us. We're one of those clubs you can come to. We're one of those biggish clubs that you can come to. Because if they don't go and get that signing, if the next signing they make is, you know, some average player from the Eredivisie, everyone's going to look at Everton and think, what are you doing? What is your strategy here? What are you actually going for? Because I just don't think there are that many players left who you can sign under the radar anymore.
Yeah.
I think
Mata, though, would be huge.
Yeah, Mata would be a big signing for them. And I'm not trying to say this in like the harsh way to Everton, because I've been saying the same thing about Southampton. I think we have maybe got some of the last two players who you can sign for, maybe under their actual value, in terms of Højbjerg and Redmond. And even them, you know, we've both been saying we're not sure. They may not be good ones. So...
Well, even the likes, like, I know we criticised Liverpool for buying him, but Wijnaldum would have been a better move to go to Everton.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, and he would have probably, if Everton had gone in for him, I think he would have been tempted by that. Because Liverpool, it's the same question, how many games is he going to play? I think Everton, he's going to say, yeah, I'll be playing every week. I'll be one of the first names on that team sheet. So yeah, I think, like, you even look at the signings Stoke are making, and signs Newcastle in the Championship are making, and they're better than what Everton are doing.
Yeah, you look Stoke. They're just doing amazing transfers.
Oh yeah,
and you look at that Stoke side. Apart from the three big names at Everton, Stoke blow Everton out of the water nowadays.
I know.
How's that come about?
I know he was a Liverpool player, but Joe Allen. I'm sorry, if that guy. If you can't see Joe Allen in an Everton T-shirt, that's a perfect Everton fit player, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a massive reputation, hard worker, very good at on the ball. That's the kind of player who, for Everton, would be there for 8 years before. You know, your Leon Osmonds, all of those kinds of players. I worry for them.
And you think of if Everton had kept John Stones and they've got Ross Barkley in front of them, that spine there of John Stones, Joe Allen, Ross Barkley.
That's a good defence in midfield.
Yeah.
Especially with Jack Yelka next to him. And Coleman.
And that's a natural team basis around those three players. It's three players that all want to have the ball at the feet, move the ball about, pass and make intelligent players. And you've got a framework there to base the team on.
Yeah, no, I have very strong doubts about what they're doing. Now, I want to talk about one other club because we are actually running quite low on time. And we will try and get out another show to talk about some of the other teams. And the last team I want to talk about, because we've kind of done Stoke, is Palace. I think they've done some very, very impressive business. They've signed Andros Townsend, who I think is a good player. I think he proved it at Newcastle. I think he proved it at Spurs. He's good enough for the league. In fact, he's one of the better wingers in the league. They've signed James Tompkins, and they've signed both these players for around 10 million. And Steve Mandanda for a free. And you're saying, okay, that's good, and that's improving the squad. But what are they letting go? Dwight Gale for £10 million to Newcastle. Almost the same transfer fee as they paid for Townsend, for a player who barely played. That is great business.
Yeah, they've put in a bid for Berry. They're trying for Berrino as well. I know a few other clubs are trying for Berrino. The one thing that worries me with Palace is if they get Berrino and they've already got Townsend, it's that sort of the attitude of a few of them.
Yeah, I think if anything is going to let them down, it's going to be the attitude of the players and the attitude of the manager.
Yeah, they've got Zaha as well. It's a...
Yeah, they're fair weather players.
They're great when they're doing well.
Yeah, fair weather.
They're quick to blame others when it's not going right. And players that, on a Friday night before a big game, should we go out to a nightclub type players?
Yeah. Personally, I think Palace are going to have a good season. I think Pardew's going to be a bit pissed off he didn't get the England job, because I think he'll look at Sam Allardyce getting in and say, I could have got that one. That I'm on a par with Sam Allardyce. I think in a way, especially with the way what Pardew seems to be motivated by, is he does well when he's angry. And I think a lot of these sort of signings are shots in anger. It's him saying, right, screw it, I'm going to really go for it. He's looked at Stoke and seen the kind of business they've done the last few years and said, why can't we do that? We're as big as them, we're as good as them. Why can't we do that? So I personally think they'll have a good season, Palace.
Yeah, I agree with you that. My just only thing is they're a bit of fair weather.
Yeah, that's the only downside. If they go into a very bad run of form, it could last a while. That's the downside of the players they've signed. Now, I'm going to call it here, and I know you're probably thinking, oh, you haven't talked about my club. We will try and do another show, and then we're going to try and get out within a week, doing the last few clubs, and maybe talking a bit more about where we think sides are going to individually finish. But thank you for joining us this week on the VT Football Podcast. Please check us out on Twitter and on Facebook and, well, you know, all the rest. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
There we go. Oh.